to all of you here tonight, and it's a wonderful gathering, wonderful thing to gather like this together and worship the Lord in spirit and truth and look into His Word, sing His praises. They don't do that out there in the world. They're singing a different kind of a song. They're living a different kind of a life, and it's wonderful to get together like this and have this kind of an atmosphere, people that are hungry for the Word of God and that love the Lord, and with that spirit of Antichrist that's out there, just prevailing out there, I'm so glad to know we're not part of that system. Totally different, set apart by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. Saying that not with arrogance, but rather with humility, because we're still looking for the remnant. There are backslidden people out there. There are people that the Lord has been calling, perhaps for a long time, and they haven't answered yet. So we certainly want to keep preaching the Word of God, keep getting it out there, keep warning people. Amen. And great things will happen. I really believe that. We're going to begin with prayer this morning. Almost said this morning. I'm really either early or late. I don't know which. But I guess I'm a little excited about the fact that I'm through with working at the state for the week here now. In fact, I've only got 6 more days this month that I have to work. All that overtime, you know, that compensatory time. So now that's starting to kick in. I haven't felt it yet. I've worked about 29 consecutive days here, and this is the first break tomorrow, so I'm heading up for Eau Claire so nobody can find me. Of course, now I told you. So anyway, I'll be back on Saturday and in time for the prayer meeting and everything. So everything's on schedule. Praise God. We're going to begin with prayer and then look at Isaiah chapter 26. Father in heaven, we are so thankful tonight for thy great and many blessings, particularly salvation. O Lord, we thank thee that thou hast called us out of darkness and into thy marvelous light, that thou hast shed thy precious blood to save our souls, to keep us, O Lord, from the way of this world, and to lead us and guide us and direct us by thy Spirit. We know all this is possible by thy grace and by thy mercy only. And I thank thee, Lord, that we can be in thy presence tonight, that we can look to thee, O Lord, as the author and the finisher of our faith. For we believe thee, O Lord, we embrace thy word, we stand upon the sure foundation of thy holy name. Guide and direct us, I pray. Give us wisdom, strengthen our faith. Let every devil, every unclean spirit, every force of darkness, every principality and power of evil, every spirit of fear, every spirit of doubt, everything that would come against us and work against us, let all of these be rebuked, bound, and cast out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we yield ourselves unto thee, O Lord. Let thy will be done, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right. Isaiah chapter 26. Now, last Sunday, those of you that, is it not, what's that? Oh, pardon me, 25. Thank you. I'm jumping ahead. We did 24 on Sunday. See, that's why we need somebody like Diane here. Of course, somebody else would have caught it in a minute, wouldn't you? This was a wonderful test. All right. Okay, we better do 25. Sunday we did chapter 24, and I didn't have much of a voice. I was struggling like everything. And so it's a blessing to be able to have my voice back and be able to look at chapter 25 and just really dive right into it. Praise God. So here we go. And thank you, Diane, for your vigilance in pointing that out to me. Otherwise, I think I would have caught that eventually, but I'm not sure. All right. Chapter 25 of Isaiah starts out by saying, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. That's an interesting verse to read following up from the previous chapter 24. If you remember chapter 24, the Lord said the earth would be destroyed. He said the earth would be completely desolate. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear that, especially those who live in the realm of wickedness, because they, and conspiratorial people who have built up an earthly kingdom, and are controlling this present world under the direction of the devil. They don't like that message because they put a lot of effort into trying to make a world that they could call a new age. And of course, who is the number one spouter of that doctrine right now? One President Bill Clinton. Remember how he keeps saying, "I'm building a bridge into the next century." He's declaring himself to be a bridge builder. With my computer at the university, I keep bringing up all the news from Reuters News Service, and Bill Clinton is just harping on that. He just keeps saying, "I'm going to build the bridge into the next century." Well, a bridge builder, of course, we know is another name for that is pontiff. Now he's got an affinity with the Pope, you see, because he's the pontiff, and he's going to carry us clear on into the next century, right into the year 2000, he claims. Well, I'll tell you, I think the Lord has something to say about that too. The boasts of men mean nothing. If the Lord allows it to happen, so be it. But God's in charge. All these people can say whatever they want to say and try to do whatever they want to do. All will fail because the Almighty is in charge. If he doesn't want it, it won't happen. Isn't that right? See, I believe in one sovereign, almighty God who will do what he wants to do. And I think one of the reasons that we've had the president we've had this long, and for that term of almost 4 years now, is because the people of this country, for the most part, deserve him. That he is a president by the people, for the people, and of the people. Huh? Whose fault is it, really, that we have somebody like that? Why do we have Bonnie and Clyde in the White House? I mean, they epitomize all these characters. You could call them Ahab and Jezebel. You could call them Bonnie and Clyde. There's a lot of them that fit. You could probably think of some more. You know why that is? Because wicked spirits seize upon people who are willing hosts. I believe, I know, and I understand from the Word of God that unclean spirits like to get into people who are in a position of power. Particularly, they like to be in college professors. Particularly, in preachers. Anybody who can influence a lot of people, that's where they want to be. Amen. I think that's one of the reasons why the Lord set the limits for the size of churches. Did you know that? He said that you'd bring forth some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. If a church gets more than 100 people in it, it's going to be corrupt. There's corruption will set in. Amen. Amen. That's the Lord's way. See, these people that want to build a kingdom, build a religion, build a system, they're opening the door for corruption. You might say, what happens if you get to have more than 100 people in church? Well, then you need another church. And we're supposed to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, some will hear, the vast majority will not, but we still have to declare it. Amen. So anyway, the Lord said that this world would become so corrupt and so full of sin. And by the way, it's not Atlas that's carrying this world. The Lord hung this world on nothing. He put it out there. Can you imagine? What's the world hanging on? Where are the ropes attached? It's spinning around one time every day. It's rotating around the sun in an orbit one time every year. But what's it hanging on? Why does it keep doing it? Well, a scientist will tell you, well, it's because of the laws of physics. Do you know what those laws of physics are? It's the declaration of God. The reason I can drop this book and it falls down, we say it's gravity. It's because God declared it to be so. That's why it keeps doing it. I can drop it 1,000 times, it'll keep doing it. That's a law, scientific law, but God set it in motion. Why does the world keep spinning at, well, it is winding down slowly, but not enough for you and I to notice. But why does it keep going? Why is it that it keeps orbiting the sun? Well, God set it in motion. I believe He made the earth. There is such precision in the solar system. There is such precision here on earth in a flower, in the snowflakes that fall, in every little thing and every big thing that's in this creation, in this earth, in the solar system, in the cosmos, that it has to be God. The scientists are working overtime to try to prove that it got here by itself. You know what the Bible tells me, and I agree with it 100%? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Well, amen to that. Ruth? Well, that's why they hug trees. that's why they have bumper stickers that say, "Have you hugged your mother lately?" And there's a globe with some arms around it. Tree-hugging, globe-loving. And I'm all for saving the environment, but I don't worship it. You see, it tells us in Romans chapter 1 that people in the last days would worship the creature more than the Creator. Worship the creation. What do the witches do? They worship the sun. They worship the moon. They worship the stars. Because they're up there somewhere and they're mysterious. But what a foolish thing to totally bypass the creative hand of Almighty God and forget all about Him and just look at what was made and then not even attribute it to Him. But you see, the reason people do that, and the reason they keep trying to prove evolution and trying to prove all these ridiculous theories, is because the alternative is they have to admit that God made all these things. And as foolish as their theories are, it's the best they've got, so they keep holding on to them. That's all they can come up with. That you and I came from an ape. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to be proud of? And if you go back far enough, you came from an ape. A banana-eating, smelly, hairy ape. That those are your ancestors. And they're trying to push that in the schools? Something that's already been proven to be positively false, and they know it. These science textbooks are interesting. After a couple of years, they're obsolete. They keep making changes all the time. Word of God, you don't have that. It's forever settled in heaven. He tells it, here's how it is, and that's it. But anyway, we know that the world, from the previous chapter, is going to reel to and fro like a drunkard under the heavy weight of sin and evil. This world's getting heavier and heavier all the time. And that's why I believe you see these disasters that they call natural disasters. The insurance companies used to call them acts of God. Do you realize the state of North Carolina is in chaos? They still don't have power down there. There's 4.5 million people don't have power. They said one of the biggest problems is rotting food. The bacteria, the stench. All God's got to do is just send a little cap full of wind in there and blow everything all around, knock all the trees down, knock some buildings down, and knock out all the power. But still, I don't hear people saying, oh, we better repent. Do you? I don't see any big, massive repentance in North Carolina. Now, over in Japan, they just had a big earthquake. Buildings were swaying. It was an intense earthquake. The only thing is, it was so deep in the earth that it didn't cause major catastrophe, but the potential is there. You'll see more of that. Remember Sunday I was saying we're seeing floods. We're seeing the water judgments. We are seeing the wind judgments. We are seeing the fire judgments out the whole left coast. Yes, I said it right, left coast. The whole left coast, there's fires all over the place. One of the most intense ones being in Hell's Canyon, Oregon. It's a wonderful place for a church picnic, isn't it, Hell Canyon? Where do you have your picnic? Oh, Hell Canyon. It's on fire. If there was a place called Hell Canyon and it was on fire, that'd make me think. Wouldn't that kind of stimulate your thought processes a little bit? Oh, look at that burning abyss. Just look at all of the trees on the whole thing. Out of control, burning out of control. What's the name of that place? Hell Canyon? Well, then I think that's very apropos, you know, that this thing is burning up. People don't give much thought into what they name things. You know, when we go over there, Arnie and Carol, to New York, and we get to the United Nations building, you know what lies to the immediate north of the UN building, United Nations? A waterway called Hell's Gate. Hell's Gate. Just north of the UN building. Isn't that appropriate? I mean, these things ought to tell us something. I look for all these little signs. This isn't coincidence. It's God incident. People respond a certain way, and it's very interesting to watch that response, and it's also interesting to watch the response of Almighty God. There is a continual flow of activity spiritually, and most people are just not getting it at all. The Lord said, watch and pray, and you will see signs, and you will see wonders. That's kind of interesting, too. This coming Friday is Friday the 13th. And it's also a holiday. Which one is it, Dieter? He was telling me about it. Rosh Hashanah. You know what that is? Who knows what that is? Rosh Hashanah. It's the Jewish New Year. Friday night. Friday the 13th. All the witches go berserk that night because that's the highest esbit of the year for them. Some years have more than one Friday the 13th. Every year has at least one. But they get together and they have their meetings. Now, you and I know it's ridiculous. You and I don't believe in such things. We believe they exist. But we're not shaken by these things because we know we're under the protective hand of Almighty God. Nevertheless, isn't it interesting that the Jewish New Year starts on Friday the 13th? Arnie? That happens to be a new moon, but if you go a little farther down the calendar, right as we are approaching the autumnal equinox, which is another big witch's, not an esbit, but a sabbat. See, in witchcraft, every Friday night is an esbit. An esbit means they have a meeting, they gather together, they cast spells, they do their cord magic, they do their candle magic, they do all this different kinds of stuff. Certain times of the year, eight times a year, the quarter days and cross-quarter days, they have special celebrations called sabbats. But every Friday night is an esbit. But when it happens to be the 13th, that's a big thing for them. Now, this year, the Kabbalists, those that use the Kabbalah, they're going to look at this as a very wonderful occasion when they can really cast spells. Because it's Rosh Hashanah, and it's also Friday the 13th. And Kabbalistic magic is Jewish magic. Witchcraft. You've heard of the Kabbalah. And another thing is they believe, just as long as I'm on that subject, the Jews believe, and I'm talking about the Orthodox ones and the Hasidic ones, with their Lubavitchers and all their head rabbis and so forth. They always teach this in the synagogue schools, that they have the secret formula, the magic words, whereby they can form a man out of the dust of the ground, out of mud or clay. They can form this big giant man and make a deliverer for themselves. They can form this guy, and then they make some writings, Hebrew writings on the chest. And this guy is called a golem. The golem, and that he can come to life under rabbinical supervision and rise to become the great vindicator of their cause. In other words, they want to make their own champion. They teach this. That in the last days they will succeed to come up with a final formula to bring this superhero to life. To come and knock off everybody that opposes them. Did you ever hear that story of the golem? That's Kabbalistic witchcraft, but they teach it in the synagogue schools. That they are special because they're able to do this. I don't think so. You wonder where stories like Frankenstein's monster came from and stuff like that? That came from that doctrine. That's where it came from. But it's interesting because this world is swaying under the terrible onslaught of sin and wickedness that has filled and permeated the earth. But anyway, what I was going to say is, does anybody know what holiday follows Rosh Hashanah? Yes, and that's coming up right at about the time of the Sabbath. I believe it's on a Sunday, and the Sabbath is on a Monday, so Sunday night. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I believe it's the 22nd is the first day of autumn, which is a witch's Sabbath. The night they always celebrate their big event the night before. You've got to understand that. The night before the day. It's the eve of that day. That's why people celebrate Christmas Eve. It goes right along with all that Sabbath worship and so forth. That's why the Catholics have Mass at midnight. On Christmas Eve, they have their star ceremony, you know. Worship the Queen of Heaven, Mother of God, and so forth. Isn't that interesting? I didn't think God had a mother. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art the Lord. Who ever heard tell of God having a mother? Anyway, that's witchcraft. That comes from the worship of Diana of the Ephesians, which, by the way, is another source of vain repetition. Remember how, did you ever hear a rosary being said? There's a station in Hartford, radio station. One time I found it by accident, and there was a priest on there, and he sounded like he had a few. But anyway, he was reciting the rosary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Over and over. About to drive you out of the car. You know, I listened for a little while, as long as I could. I thought, isn't he going to change his... He kept doing it, and every so often you get to an Our Father. But almost all is Hail Mary. What did Jesus say? Use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. What did the Ephesians do for the space of how many hours? I believe it was 2 hours. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is the... 2 hours of that. If you heard somebody say that for 10 minutes, you'd start to, oh, let me out of here. But because Paul was getting up there to speak and he had condemned the making of little idols, they began to shout. And who stirred him up? The idol makers. Demetrius the silversmith. Because he was making these little silver statues of Diana of the Ephesians. She was an interesting character too. A Tower of Babel on her head. 100 breasts in front of her. Exposed. Yeah. See, actually, the word Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon comes from the same root as mammary gland or breast. Because they believe that was the nourishing goddess that took care of all the people of the world. Everybody had to come under her. See? Very interesting how that evolved into a Roman Catholic system. And then all the denominations sprung from that were the offspring of the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And so what you have is a denominational family with a common mother and the father of lies. Well, that's the way it is. But the Lord set us free. But the reason, what I'm telling you with all these things, is I'm just trying to show you, that's why the earth is reeling to and fro like a drunkard. It's the heavy weight of evil and sin that has come upon it. But we see in the 25th chapter in the first verse, an entirely different message coming forth. When you've got a people that are saying, "O Lord, thou art my God, I'm not falling for the lies, deceits, and temptations of this world. I'm not going to, even though I'm in Rome, so to speak, I'm not going to do as the Romans do." Praise the Lord. "O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee." I can do that, can't I? That's good. "I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." I can cling to what I already have. That's the wonderful thing about living for God. You're in a progression. You accumulate faith as you go along. You understand that He is a miracle worker, a wonder worker, a healer, a provider, that He takes care of you, that He watches over you every minute of every day, and nothing goes unnoticed by the Lord. The God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's very much aware of what's happening to you. And you might say, "Well, why in the world does He let me go through some of these things?" All I can say is, as hard as it may be, it is a learning process. And sometimes faith comes through nothing but that kind of a school. A man who wants to build up his biceps and triceps and all these other septs and things. You lift weights or you lift things or you work and you build up your muscles, and it's no fun necessarily exerting yourself to that extent. But the byproduct of it is you become strong and able to deal with other things. So it is with faith. Difficult times produce faith. If you look at the prophets, they all had trouble. Job had trouble because he was faithful. But you've got to understand, the Lord brings you through it. It's no fun going through it at all. It can be very disparaging, very rough on you in a lot of ways. But as long as you maintain your direction and your faith and you keep on believing and embracing the fact that there's a God in heaven and He's aware of this, then you'll get through it. When you do, you'll be glad. You'll say, "What a relief." Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, he says in verse 2, "For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built." Praise the Lord. What's it telling us here? God is able to take a city, no matter how fabulous it may be, no matter how beautiful it may be and how fortified it may be, the Lord is, with very little effort, able to take it and make it into a heap. You know what a heap is? Just a pile of rubbish. Amen. Just a pile of rubbish. Do you realize what we have in our land today? You go in any store and you will find... I went down to buy some paper at the Office Depot to run through my laser printer for the newsletter and for the letters that I write. They gave me a choice. They said, "Well, you can buy the recycled paper here, or you can have the virgin paper, which is a little more." Can you guess which one I bought? You realize this, it might be a little more, and you might say, "Well, use the recycled. Everybody's using recycled." Do you realize every time they recycle that stuff, it's diminishing in quality? And there's just something about it that bugs me anyway. All these environmentalists at work, you know. I'd rather pay the extra 60 cents and get the good stuff. It does work better. I want my equipment to work well and for a long time. But what I'm trying to say is, we recycle, we recycle, we recycle. Recycle what? Garbage and junk. This whole world is surviving now on garbage and junk. We are going out and we are buying things that are crushed, whipped together, spun around, and reformed and all these things. And what it once was trash and garbage. Huh? People probably spit in it and everything else. I realize the tree huggers would not like this message. But I'm just going to go as long as I can on the good stuff. Amen. We can't avoid it entirely. But when I've got a choice, I know what my choice is going to be. But the Lord has made this world a heap. Huh? A heap of junk. So man takes it and recycles the junk and makes it presentable, and off they go. And then they'll recycle that junk and recycle the junk that was junk before and keep going right on down the line. The university loves that stuff. They buy all the recycled stuff they can because it gives them a good, clear conscience that they are helping their dear mother, the world. I was in a computer center today in Dempsey Hall. I'm not trying to be cynical, but they are the strangest looking bunch of people in there I've ever seen in my life. Just odd looking. There's one guy who had a face like a caricature. I mean, these people are weird, strange, unusual. How they got that way, I don't know. They've been cycled into this New Age movement thing. Of course, there was one guy there. I was telling my assistant, look at this guy. I saw his name on the desk. I thought it was kind of cute. I said, here's the head king of all the ducks. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, look at his name, Quackin' Boss. Huh? Quackin' Boss. There's a guy who's got his ducks in a row. He's a Quackin' Boss, see? But you should have seen it. I mean, they are the strangest looking bunch of misfits. And they're the ones who are running the systems, teaching all of the young people there to go out and run the world. What they're really doing is setting them up for the New Age. And I see it all over the place. But the Lord tells us in verse 3, therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. See, glorifying God is a symbol of strength, not weakness. When you're praising God, you're displaying your strength. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Remember that song? Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Isn't that a wonderful song? See, it's a symbol of strength, a sign of strength to worship God. You might see the weakest saint. Now, let me define that. Some people don't know what a saint is. Some people think of a saint in the term of a Catholic saint, you know, somebody that's kind of a, not quite God, but kind of a God. Goes around with a robe and a hood like a puff of smoke or something. A saint is a born-again, spirit-filled believer in Jesus Christ. Of course, there aren't many of them. There used to be a lot more of them. And it's getting harder now to tell the saints from the ain'ts because of the compromise of the world, see? Amen. A saint is when somebody has been regenerated by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's people, the Israel of God, the people of the Lord are saints in the eyes of God. Amen. And Let me just say that when the weakest, physically weakest or weakest looking saint is on his or her knees before God, that in itself is enough to make the devil tremble, because he knows that when they make contact with the throne of the Almighty, that there's going to be something that will take place in that person's life, and he will overcome. That's the thing. We've got to just take a hold of the willingness of God, stand upon his word, and triumph. You know what triumph is, don't you? It's oomph with a little try. Huh? Yes. Oomph, oomph, oomph. Amen. If you take oomph, that's that push, that drive, and you add try with it. Just try. Try and pray. Try and believe. Try it. Try it with oomph and you will triumph. Or triumph. You know what that is? It's called a memory crutch. When you get old like me, you need memory crutches. Do you use memory crutches? It's kind of nice, isn't it? Okay. You have to kind of use your ingenuity, and you can attach certain things to words that will help you remember. Now, it's telling us here, therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. Terrible nations? Are there any terrible nations? You know what terrible means here? From the Hebrew, it means ruthless, vicious. Are there any vicious nations in this world? Immediately people think of Saddam Hussein. But I think we better start looking at the U.S. of A, or the USSA, Incorporated. For viciousness? Do you think that may be true? I'll tell you, when you got the devil in the driver's seat, it may look like the car's moving along all right, but you don't want to go where it's going. Amen. There is trouble everywhere because of the leadership. Now, it goes on and says, for thou hast been a strength to the poor. It's one thing to be poor, but I'll tell you this. You can be poor and have God on your side. Amen. And he'll help you. And he'll get you through somehow. He always takes care of his people. What did King David say? Once I was young and now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Amen. See, it's been pushed at us and pounded into us that Washington will take care of us. If there's a famine, that's okay. They'll grow hydroponic things, you know, from chemicals and feed us. But the government will take care of you. The government, their state is your God. Right? And you don't want to get on the wrong side of them, is what they're saying. They need cooperation. They need submission. They need you to acquiesce before them and cave in before every edict. Right? And then they will take care of you. After all, they are a benevolent oligarchy. You know what an oligarchy is? It's a rule by a few. But they want your cooperation. I'll tell you something. You had better cooperate with the Almighty God and let everything else fall where it may. Because you will be a lot farther ahead in the long run. Amen. I'm telling you, he'll take care of us. Now, let's look at this. It's talking about how the Lord has been a strength to the poor. a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. As if you had a violent storm beating against the wall, but thank God for the wall. Amen. That's how the Lord is to his people. He's going to watch out for you. The arm of flesh will fail you, right? Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. You know what that is? Well, let's read the rest of the verse. I'll come back to it. The branch of the terrible one shall be brought low. So the noise of strangers, and by the way, they'll make a lot of noise. One thing about the devil's people, they make a lot of noise. A lot of racket. They in every way, in their soundtrack, their music, their declarations that they make. Listen, this time of the year, especially with all the political rhetoric going on, all the campaign speeches. Ross Perot getting up and saying, "Put me in and I'll get rid of the income tax. Abolish the IRS. Isn't he a repulsive little munchkin? Really? Huh? Yeah. Really? You know what he wants to do? He wants to put on taxes, more taxes on everything you buy. See, they'll clip you coming and going one way or another. That's the way of the world. Sister Pat. Yeah, the Visa, right. The Visa and MasterCard companies, if you pay every month, they're going to put a special fee on there, a yearly fee, because you paid on time. You know what this is? This is Looney Tunes. You know what the soundtrack of the world is? Remember those Looney Tune cartoons? They might as well just play that all the time. This is Looney Tunes. That's all, folks. Very good. Was that you, Len? He really comes up with them. Anyway, that's all, folks. Yeah, and a while back, I got a letter from the bank here in town. I've got a small account so I can pay my little sideline business that I run as a locksmith, which is hardly anything. I'm hardly doing much of that anymore at all. But I got a letter from the bank saying they're going to charge for deposits. If you put money in their bank, they will charge you a fee for a deposit. So I went over and talked to them. I said, I think we're just going to forget this whole thing, you know. Let's just close this thing out and I'll just buy money orders. Well, how are you going to cash your checks? If people write you a check to pay you, how are you going to do that? We won't cash it. What a clip joint. Huh? This whole system has got you locked in. Well, there's a way around that. But everything costs money. If you get out of that clip joint, there's another clip joint to clip you down there. What a world. Hmm? Buying and selling. Buying and selling, yes. And no man might buy or sell. You talk about a prerequisite to the mark of the beast. If you get a check and nobody will cash it for you because you don't have an account with them. See? There are all these little places, too, where you can go down and you can pay a fee to get your check cashed, and that's not cheap either. But the world's getting harder and harder to live in. There are greater difficulties all the time. That's why we need the help of the Lord, because he'll always make a way for us. All right, let's read on here. I think we're on verse 6. Little heat and humidity there, huh? Oppressive heat. We've had some of that not long ago. And I think what he's saying there is there's just an oppressiveness everywhere, a stifling oppressiveness. You can feel it on every hand. The branch of the terrible one shall be brought low. This is comforting because the Lord is saying their time is coming, their days are numbered. Their days are numbered. Amen. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people. Now when he says all people, he is referring to all of his people. A feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. Now he's not speaking literally here, but he's speaking that he's saying that he will lift us up and prosper us and take care of us with good things. That's what this is a metaphor of. You know what a metaphor is, of course. It's a word picture. Amen. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. Now understand something. There is a veil covering the nations today. Do you know what that veil is? It's a veil of deception. Let me show you something. I want to flip the page here over to, hold your page because we're coming right back there, over to Ephesians chapter 4 in the New Testament. Here's what he's talking about regarding that veil covering the nations. In Ephesians 4, 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Let me ask you, have you ever run into or encountered people that have their understanding darkened? Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Huh? Ignorance. Or hadn't you encountered that either? Do you know how little people know about what's really going on? And how they're kept that way and kept that way and kept that way. Because they've been pickled, they've been canned by religion. In the brine too long. No longer cucumbers, they are now pickles. Huh? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. That ignorance will alienate you from God because of the blindness of their heart. That's that big veil. Notice, it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. There is a difference, isn't there? Let's go back now to Isaiah 25. Verse 8 says, he will swallow up death in victory. Remember 1 Corinthians 15? Death is swallowed up in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. What that means is, in the last days, prior to his coming, he will gather his people together and bring upon them the power of holiness and righteousness, and he's going to set us up and get us ready for that great day. Amen. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Praise God. Are you waiting for him? For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest. Oh, by the way, you know what he's going to do when he comes down? He's going to rend the heavens. You think that hurricane was something, or those people in North Carolina think that was something. Just wait. I can't help but think of this. Last Sunday, I made a special point of mentioning that God sends judgments after the manner of the way people are. In other words, you look at the witchcraft in this country, which is profuse. It's everywhere, because it's often disguised as the New Age movement. But there are very few people running around with pointed hats, you know. You understand what I'm saying? But it's the doctrine is proliferated everywhere. And so God sends judgments. What do the witches worship? What is there? You boil all their doctrines down into one final thing. The precipitate, after it's all boiled down to nothing, what's left in the bottom of the cauldron is the worship of earth, wind, water, and fire. And what kind of judgment does God send? He shakes the earth. He sends in some wind. Sends a lot of water with it. And then has fires sweep through the land. I had mentioned that in wide areas, 665,000 acres on fire out of control out west. Had to call in the Marines. There's judgment by fire. The hurricane coming through, judgment by wind. Dropping 15 inches of rain in 2 hours. Judgment by water. In fact, even the Potomac was flooded. You know what people said in Washington, D.C.? The Potomac is flooded. It was coming up near the mall there. The water was backing, rising up. The river had crested. You know what they said? They didn't talk about God at all. They said, can't the government do something about this? Huh? They've been in the brine too long. That's all, folks. Yeah. Just wait till it really kicks in. There's a great day coming, by and by. But people were saying, and this one woman, I heard her on the radio, she said, the government has to be able to stop this water. Yeah. Yeah. The Wasser ist verboten. Stop the water. The insurance companies are devastated. They're going to go under. They're going to go broke. People are saying, we trust our insurance. We're not going to pray to God. We'll buy insurance from the Jews and it'll be there for us. Huh? Sure, send them a check and they'll take care of you. Louis? Yes, and it's Hortense. That's an interesting. Yeah, I could do something with that too. But it's coming. Mm-hmm. It's going to get interesting, isn't it? There are two more behind that? Okay, all right. Sister Pat? Mm-hmm. I think that's rather interesting too. It's a cyclops. It has an eye. An all-seeing eye, yes. Uh-huh. That pops up all over the place too, doesn't it? That all-seeing eye. That eye of Horus. That Egyptian god. Okay, yeah, this is getting real revealing, isn't it? But anyway, the reason I brought that up again is simply to say this. Last Sunday, we could easily see all the fires going on and the hurricane coming in, the wind, the water, the fire. I said, we haven't had an earthquake for a while. Now what happens? Just to cap it off, just to top it off, a big one in Japan. And I mean a big one. It's just that it was very deep. It's a warning. Incidentally, seismologists and geographers know that Japan is just a matter of time, that the Japanese islands will go under. They're sitting on a fault right now. The Japanese people have admitted it. Their scientists have said, we know that the entire empire of Japan, the leader of that greater East Asia co-prosperity sphere, that whole thing is going to go down. It's going to sink into the ocean. They know that. And this earthquake was extremely powerful but very deep. So it didn't. All it did was sway the buildings. How would you like to be up in a 10th or 15th, 20th story of a building and have that thing swaying like this? See, they make them earthquake-proof now. They reinforce them. Just think when these things start toppling over. You get into Manhattan and watch the World Trade Center. Maybe it'll happen while we're there. Yeah, that'd be better. I'd rather be on my way out and look back and see it go. Yeah. Where was that one? Was that out in Washington? They had one a while back, and it interrupted a baseball game? Seattle, yeah. And the whole stadium was shaking, and people were starting to get a little concerned, but then when they called the game off, they were all hollering, "Keep the game going!" They wanted to keep seeing the game with the earth shaking. You talk about a bunch of diehard people with a spirit of Rome in them. Just incredible. Remember that one down in Candlestick Park? Remember that big earthquake took place? Candlestick Park. That's a good one for Oakland, isn't it? Or San Francisco? That whole area? Talk about witchiness. You know what they did out there one time years ago, just for fun, at a halftime show? They brought out Louise Huebner, the witch, the member of the Council of 13, and she cast spells for halftime entertainment. Back in the early 80s. Halftime entertainment. It could only happen on the left coast, right? No, it's spreading. It starts east, it starts west, and it kind of meets in Wisconsin. Anyway. And Illinois, right there we got this little, yeah, okay. Well, let's see if we can finish this up. If I can remember where I left off. Verse 10, thank you. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. What is Moab? What is the spirit of Moab? Kill the babies. That was their religion, remember? Chemosh worship? Kill the babies. Kill the babies. Abortion, abortion. That big cry for abortion. You know, they're trying to beef that up too. You know that the abortions last year in the state of Wisconsin were just a little over 12,000. Just in Wisconsin. In 1980, it was over 20,000. So they're drastically declined. And of course, the Planned Parenthood people are going berserk. They got to figure out a way to encourage more women to have abortions. I mean, a lot of them just don't want to go in and have the coat hanger thing used on them. Of course, they don't use coat hangers. They just use another kind of it, made of surgical steel. It all comes out the same. You know, it's terrible. Just awful. But now they've come out, they found two anti-cancer drugs that they can mix together, pour them together, and give them to these women, and over 90% of them will abort their baby as a result of that drug. So now they've decided they're going to go ahead and use Wisconsin as a test site, use them in the Planned Parenthood centers and these abortion clinics, and they're going to be pouring the drugs into these women. Just come in and take the drug and it's all over. They said there are side effects. You have all the side effects of somebody having a miscarriage. There's a danger of bleeding. There's all these other dangers. But it's all right because after all, you know, you just drink this. A doctor will be there to watch you bleed, so you'll be okay. All right. Lynn?
Right.
Are you 486? It's terrible, isn't it? You know how I remember the number RU486? Because I think of a computer, a 386 processor, a 486, you know, like that, that's how I remember it. Yeah, that. But what a terrible thing. Dieter. Yeah. Yeah, it's... Oh. What is it coming to? You know? At the end. You're right. That's all, folks. Now, that's going to stick. You know what? That's just going to stick. So God's going to make this as a dunghill. That spirit of Moab is a terrible idolatrous spirit. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. In other words, everything they tried to make and everything they tried to do and all of their accomplishments, they're going to fall. They're all going to fall into a dunghill. The Spirit of the Lord is swimming through this land, stroking through this land right now. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground even to the dust. The Lord's going to take all that pride and all that power, all the Star Wars equipment that they've talked about, all this stuff, the things they've got out in space. You ever wonder why that shuttle keeps going up all the time? They're doing all kinds of stuff up there. They got all kinds of equipment to watch you and to use surveillance on you. All these different things going on. The Lord can bring them down, and he will. It's going to crumble. This world is run on computers right now. I think it's rather interesting that radioactivity and magnetic fields, if they're strong enough, can really cause havoc with computers. How long would it take the Lord to reformat their hard drive? Huh? I'm talking about the big one now. The big reformatting of the hard drive. It's not hard at all. Amen. I want to, just in closing, we need to sing a couple of choruses. I'm going to just quickly turn over to Obadiah. Now, remember when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon? What do they call that landing module? Remember, the eagle has landed, right? The eagle has landed. Boy, were they proud of it. Put a man on the moon. I think that NASA mooned us. Okay. Anyway. Well, all right. It's one way to put it, isn't it? But watch this. Obadiah verse 4 says, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Even if they go up there, so what? There's one greater who will bring him down. Old Nikita Khrushchev used to say, this is one of his favorite things, there's no God. He said, there's no God. Remember how excited he used to get? Carried an attaché case around with a third shoe in it just so he had one to bang on the table. I used to think he'd reach down and take it off his foot, but no, he had a spare shoe for effect. He also had his own bottle of vodka that was cut about 60% with water. And all these other, he'd always want to drink, you know, and have everybody else drink with him, but theirs was straight. And they were wondering how he could keep drinking and still not be inebriated. Everybody else was starting to see things. He was showing his Russian superiority there, see? But he said, there's no God. We've been up in space. And they hadn't either. He said, we've been up in space. There's no God. We look for him up there. He's not there. All right, Nikita. He knows better now, doesn't he? Remember the Sputnik? Remember the Sputnik? Oh, the Russians are in space. The Sputnik, you know? And you hear that they actually played as, I was a little guy, I was 7 years old when I heard that. 1957. Beep, 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 beep. That was the Russian Sputnik. You know what they discovered that was later? The Russians had 7 trawlers, you know, ships, different parts of the ocean. And they had equipment on there, the kind you could buy at Radio Shack, just making beeps in sequence. And it sounded like this, there was something in orbit around there. We picked that up. They pulled a fast one. But what happened then, of course, at that time is, oh, we got to catch up. They're way ahead of us. In order to catch up, we have to take a lot of tax money in. And we have to totally redo our public schools so our kids can get real smart and eventually we can beat the Russians. I think that, yeah, there were things like that being said. Yeah. But here we are. That was back in the 50s. Here we are in the 90s. Do you realize how much closer we are to the coming of the Lord? Amen. Well, we're going to stop here because our time is up and we've reached the end of the chapter. And I'd like to sing a few choruses. But first, we'll pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank thee for this time together. We thank thee, Lord, for thy goodness, thy grace, thy mercy, thy truth. I pray that thou wouldst help us to be encouraged in thy spirit, to be always ready for thy soon coming. O Lord, we need thy help. We need thy strength. Use us, O God, according to thy word. Help us to be obedient children and let thy will be done. Help us to pray always and be spiritual and to walk in the beauty of holiness and in the strength of thy mighty arm. Guide and direct us now. Bless thy people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's sing that chorus, Give Unto the Lord.